This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and Sirius XM Channel 371.
A number of guests, I mean a ton of them, are coming your way. We'll take phone calls too if you're in the mood. Again, we go till 10 a.m. Bubba Cunningham will join us coming up at the bottom of the hour. Looking for that. We have the press conference with Hubert Davis later this afternoon on ACC Network beginning at 2 p.m. So we'll have you covered with all the doings going on in Chapel Hill, North Carolina with the big news. And it is big news. It's big news for the league. It's big news nationwide. The North Carolina job is one of those gigs that everybody pays attention to. And Hubert Davis is the next man up.
I think it's also important, too, Pac, you mentioned this earlier in hour one. Carolina is one of those hallmark institutions when it comes to men's basketball in the ACC. And we're fortunate, spoiled rotten, as you say, that we've got a handful of them, right? And so when news happens at any of those institutions, it's big news, and especially for us on this program. Eric Montross was with us on Friday and has been good enough to come back here and join us on Tuesday morning, this morning from Chapel Hill. Eric, I'll start by simply saying this. Are you surprised? And we asked Adam Lucas same question. Are you surprised we're talking about this on Tuesday after just visiting on Friday?
You know, Wes, I think that, first of all, good morning to both of you guys. I think it's been a big weekend. I think that nobody is really all that surprised, given the fact that it was a fairly small field. I mean, you didn't have to go through an entire process. You knew that the caliber of coaching that you were looking for. And so, and you also had a little bit of lead time. I mean, Coach Williams had given Bubba and Chancellor Guskowitz a little bit of lead time. So I'm sure that they had a plan that they were ready to jump on post the announcement of his retirement.
Hubert's got the gig, Eric, but how many guys do you think were kicked around in terms of potentials outside of the family? Not that that's important, but that always leads to a good conversation. Who do you think was on the outside of the family that was a true opportunity if they were in the mood?
Well, I don't know the names, but I do know this, that the thing that I have been so impressed with is how Bubba Cunningham has worked the process, and he has touched all the corners of the box. And when you think about all of the things that you have to do as an athletic director just to make a hire, regardless of the sport, you have those metrics in place. And then you have the added metrics of the Carolina culture, the Carolina family, the guy that you are working to replace. And the thing that has been so impressive to me is how that process, and we know that about Bubba. I mean, he's meticulous about those types of processes. And so I don't know who he contacted outside of the family, but I'm sure that those conversations were had and that litmus test was passed.
Eric, I'm going to ask you about Hubert Davis, the basketball coach, in a moment, but I want to know about Hubert Davis, the guy that bounced the ball to you in the post.
He never passed it.
You know,
he never passed it. He shot it. How do you think he got such a good percentage? I mean, he never passed the ball.
I love it.
What are we getting here? Look, Roy Williams played on the JV team. Matt Daugherty obviously played on the varsity team, won a national championship. We're getting a Carolina player, but we're getting an impactful Carolina player at not only the collegiate level, who also had a very good NBA career, like yourself. I mean, we're getting the full package here, but what do we need to know about Hubert Davis that we haven't seen sitting beside Roy Williams for 9 years?
Well, I think what we haven't seen out of Hubert on the varsity sideline is the fire that burns within. And I think that for a lot of people, that may give them a bit of pause as they go into this and see him as the head coach, because they say, you know, we've been watching fire out of Roy Williams, you know, obviously, especially early on in his tenure. He's maybe moderated a wee bit here as of late, but I can guarantee you that spirit is there. And that's something that I think that a lot of folks don't know about Hubert. I also think that just from what I, how I know Hubert personally, he is a remarkable man and he is a mentor. He is a gifted mentor. And when I think about the coaches who coach basketball, not just speaking in a partisan fashion about Carolina, but when you think about the best coaches in college basketball, a key adjective describing those men and or women have been mentor, teacher. They are gifted in those areas. And that's what I think about back to Carolina. That's what I think about under my time under Coach Smith, is that he was a gifted mentor and teacher. He wanted us to learn. He wanted us to become stronger young men, better community representatives. And I think those are things that a lot of people have an inkling that that's what Hubert Davis carries within. But I think we're going to see that shine through. That doesn't equate to wins on the basketball court, but it starts the process by getting everybody on the same page and understanding their baseline.
Eric, I think, you know, we've talked so much about the transfer portal on the show, and we're going to continue to do it because it's the universe that we're in. I mentioned this yesterday. We've talked about coaches. We've talked about players. But we haven't talked so much about the fans. And given the fact that your role in the broadcast, the radio network, and so forth, you know, fans want to have a sense of connection. And the fact that, hey, their voice does matter. The reason they spend all that time watching games, listening to games, buying merchandise, buying tickets, going to the games, hanging out with their buddies, that they are important. And it seems to me, given the transfer portal, to know that, hey, you got a coach now that understands, number one, the roster without ever spending one second having to do any research, understands recruiting because he's been at North Carolina for the last 8 or 9 years. He doesn't have to sell anybody on his love affair for the school and that he met his wife there and Coach Smith and Coach Williams and played blood, sweat, and tears. It would seem to me for the fan of North Carolina that there is a comfort level knowing, whew, not that, hey, we have no idea how many championships we're going to win, but it's almost as if you kind of dodged a bullet in a sense that I don't have to spend even more time figuring out, hey, who is this guy that we hired to run our basketball program? Does that make any sense?
Well, of course, and it really does. It's a good point. I think this, I mean, look, the name, image, likeness, that the transfer portal, those are big, big items looming on the horizon. But here's what Carolina fans can know about Hubert Davis. Hubert Davis knows and believes in the type and character of players that he wants. He is going to find the best players that fit into his program. You know, for the last several years, we've talked about Tony Bennett as one of the great recruiters to his style of play. Make no mistake, you know, if you listen to Hubert on the interviews in the last 12 hours, he's talked about putting his stamp on this coaching legacy. And that's something that I think is extremely important. You don't want to try and fit into somebody else's mold. Those molds are Hall of Fame molds, and they're really tough to live up to. Not that he can't be accepted.
Oh, frozen in time.
I got a freeze. Yep. Dag.
Happens. Live television.
Probably a good point, too. Yeah, it happens. Occasionally we get the lockdown, right?
Yep.
Good point, though, right, about the molds in the program. And the understanding of it, it's a good question and a good answer, too.
And Hubert's going to have to be his own man, and I think he will. I mean, you know, not everybody is Dean Smith. Not everybody is Roy Williams. Not everybody's Mike Krzyzewski, Tony Bennett, you know, Jim Boeheim, Leonard Hamm. The greats of this game in terms of coaches, hey, you got to create your own path here. But like going back, though, to the fans part of this, because I do think it's important, especially now, where every fan base mm-hmm. – is, hey, I'm a fan of Virginia or Duke or Carolina or Florida State, whatever it is. Hey, I don't know what my roster looks like as a fan. We're sitting here in April, and you don't have any idea what the fall will look like in basketball when you say, hey, I saw a preseason top 25 yesterday and laughed. I laughed. Like, how in the world could you do a preseason top 25 when you have no earthly idea today what right. a roster is going to look like? So that's one of the reasons I want to incorporate the yeah. fans with our conversation, because I think fans are going through an adjustment too, in addition to the players and the coaches and the ADs. Fans have to be understanding that, man, this is different. You know, I used to know that, hey, here's, we got three sophomores and a freshman on the starting lineup. And man, next year we got all this experience back. And you have no earthly idea what you've got coming back next year. So I think for fans of North Carolina,
I think Eric,
there's a comfort level knowing that Hubert Davis is our guy.
Yeah, Eric, I think there is that question about the evolution of rosters and the rotation of rosters. I mean, this could be, and I guess everybody's got to be ready for it, but even when you have a coaching change, even though it's, quote, in-house, there's still potential for a little bit of a bumpy ride. I mean, you've seen Carolina the last couple of years. I said a moment ago, they got to shoot it better. Start off, how's it going to be? Hey, the guy knew how to shoot, so I'm going to guess he can find guys that can shoot it.
Yeah, hey, what I want to know is which one of you guys didn't have the string pulled tight enough here just a moment ago. Somebody cut the cord, but it was
I knew it. All that's on Pack. Yeah, yeah.
Hey, but it, you know, it is what I was saying is that as we look at the type of players, and we're talking about fans, I mean, and they're so critically important because they have been the lifeblood of Carolina basketball for so long. And they've enjoyed the successes that have come along with the program. But you look at the type of players that Coach Davis is going to recruit. And I made the reference to Tony Bennett, who has recruited to his style of play. I think not only will we see that Coach Davis will recruit to his style of play, but he's also going to recruit to Carolina. That piece, I think, is so hard. And I think that's going to be one of the things that he's going to have as a challenge to try and dovetail the fact that so many of these great players are looking at this as a stepping stone these days. And so how do you protect the love of Carolina as a player coming in? And for those of us who played eons ago, like myself, that was easy. We had that coming in. That was part of the metrics, the box that we had to check. I guarantee you that that is going to be a box that has to be checked for the players coming in under Coach Davis.
Yeah. Eric, thanks as always for the time. I cannot wait for the first time where we get to ask the head basketball coach at the University of North Carolina why he never gave you the ball in the post.
He probably doesn't have an answer for it. There were so many. Guys that he did that. There were so many guys that he did that to. How can he differentiate me from everybody else that he didn't pass to?
I just hope he doesn't answer it this way, Eric. Who? Oh, yeah, Montrose. Yeah.
Yeah.
Look, 7-foot guy, you can't miss me. I can't put on sunglasses and a wig like you guys and get away with it, okay?
Hey, by the way, never let it be said that we didn't go to the files and get the bloody Montrose video to bump your appearance here today. I thought we could avoid it, but we went and got bloody Montrose video for you.
Oh, boy. Bring it on. Bring it on, Wes.
That's it. Yeah. Put some dirt on it. Put some dirt
on
it.
Talk to you soon.
Let's go.
Be well. Thanks.
All right.
Take care.
See you, buddy. Take care, guys.
All right. Eric Montrose, national champion, 1993 at Carolina. Beat that Fab Five team, Pac. Yeah. That Fab Five team we were talking about
just
yesterday.
Celebrating. That Fab Five team won nothing. Zero.
Nothing. Yeah. Yeah. Got some notes yesterday from some friends in the Big Ten who were excited you pointed that out, by the way.
Well, I mean, listen, if I'm wrong, I'll apologize. But they
never won a Big
Ten. I know I'm right. Never won a Big Ten title, never won a championship. They talk about it. They transformed the game. Oh, okay. Cool. If it's wearing black socks and baggy shorts, I would agree with you. Winning championships.
All right.
Dusty. Nothing.
Zero. Zip. Yeah. On the other side. We go to Derby City to talk to Vince Tyree, the athletics director and friend of the program, by the way, from the University of Louisville. Big baseball game tonight. Volleyball team wins the ACC championship. Spring football, you name it. We're going to cover it with the man in charge at Louisville next on Packer and Durham.
The Packer and Durham podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
In Durham on a Tuesday morning, 844 say ACC and the number. This will now begin our athletic director's session on the program. Got Bubba coming up here in about 15 minutes, but right now we go to Louisville because it's a time for Louisville and Kentucky getting together on the baseball field. It's always important.
Oh man,
Vince Tyree joins us. Vince, good morning. How are we doing?
I'm doing great. Doing great. Good to see you guys.
Likewise. It doesn't seem to matter what the sport. right? Louisville and Kentucky, it's go time.
Yeah, it could be cornhole. It doesn't matter. You know, tonight, you know, it's obviously we got them tonight, and baseball tomorrow night, and softball, and you know, we're obviously looking forward to it. It's a great midweek matchup. We got them. We only have three non-conference games left: two with Kentucky and one with Vanderbilt. And that's a tall order in itself.
All right, I'm looking behind you there in the old bookshelf. Looks like you're gonna have to clear some shelf space for more trophies. Volleyball over the weekend. You got swimming and diving. I mean, you've had a pretty good winter in a year when things have kind of been different.
Yeah, no, it's gone well with, you know, women's basketball had a great run and won the regular season ACC. Then obviously men's swimming came back and won the ACC, and volleyball over the weekend wins the ACC. And yeah, we've had some individual champions and NCAA champions. It's been a lot of fun. You know, we've got a lot of sports performing well, field hockey, lacrosse ranked. Yeah, it's going well right now.
Vince, does it feel, and I just did a whole dissertation last hour about everybody who participated with men's and women's basketball, tip of the hat for the players, coaches, administrators, medical folks. I mean, it was amazing. We got a season in, which culminated last night with Baylor cutting down the nets on the men's side and Stanford on Sunday with the ladies. But does it feel like you could see light at the end of the tunnel, given how crazy the last 13 months have been?
I think so. I think we're seeing the vaccines are more prevalent now. They're certainly going to be here on campus. Mm-hmm. You know, our faculty and staff at the end of this week will be vaccinated. And, you know, we're hopeful to move through the student body as well. You know, yesterday was a big announcement here in Kentucky with the Derby announcing tickets will be sold for the infield. So I think that's a positive sign to people that things are going in the right direction. So, and then I saw the Texas Rangers have about 40,000 in their stadium for their opening game. It almost looks weird.
It did, didn't it? I thought the same exact thing. I saw that yesterday. I was like, I rubbed my eyes like, wow. I mean, people in the stands, what a unique concept. We got to get used to that again, but I can't wait. Yeah. I think we all are ready to kind of get back to whatever the new normal is going to look like and feel like.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree with that. I mean, it's, you know, turning on, just seeing like the highlights of that game, they weren't cutouts. Those were people moving around. Yeah. That's what we're used to seeing. We watched the game last night, it was all the cardboard cutouts. But, you know, the fans are anxious. I know everybody's starting their campaigns for the fall for, you know, football season ticket holders renewing. And I think that's going to be the common theme you're going to see with all of us. It's just, you know, get back in there. Let's enjoy the experience. We all missed each other, and I know people enjoy getting together, and it's a great opportunity, whether it be professional sports or college sports. I think everybody's looking to get together and you know, celebrate the end of the COVID as much as celebrate the end of the end of COVID and the beginning of getting back together.
Yeah.
Sorry, get a little sun.
Vince,
there.
When we talk, that's all right. That's I deal with it too on a daily basis. The idea of going back to normal, and we spent so much time a year ago talking about the business of college athletics. How important are some of those conversations going to be this year, leading up to the next athletic season amongst athletic directors, you think?
Well, I think just, you know, our business model is around live events. And I just think that the lack of them is what we spent a lot of time talking about and the impact it had on the financials of all these athletic departments and, you know, professional and college, but, you know, just selfishly to us and how we all had to mitigate it. And I think we did everything we could to, you know, still have a terrific student athlete experience, you know, make sure that any cuts we had to make, you know, were, you know, let them be where they're out of sight, where they just didn't feel it. And I think the excitement is that what else we can do coming into this fall, you know, with full resources, should we have live events and our football season back on, which is a big revenue producer for all of us to support many of these other sports. And then obviously going right into the winter with basketball, it really gives you optimism to think about your budget. I think people will be inching them up more than what they anticipated, even going back 30 days.
Vince, you mentioned fall and football and everybody getting together and, of course, tailgating and everybody having a good time in the Commonwealth. It's never been an issue because folks know how to do it right, especially when it comes to one ice cube and some brown water, which you guys have mastered.
But you know that well.
You know you've
Code Brown.
You have cornered the market, which is a beautiful thing. But when it comes to season tickets and projecting for the fall, what can you tell us about at least the game plan at Louisville moving forward?
Yeah, that we've done a lot of sensitivity around that. I think that I still think you're always going to have your diehard fans. I think we have a good sense of how long you're going to – well, let me just step back and say, I think you're going to run more analytics than you ever did. I think you're going to look at how long a season mm-hmm. ticket holder they've been. I think if there's other – any data you can pull out of there, did they want to renew last year? Did they take a refund towards this coming year versus a donation? Is there any intel we have from our ticket selling staff as well as our fundraising staff? Premium suites, club seats, all those things. We're going to go literally section by section and try to get all the analytics and intel we can to build it up. But, you know, I'm hopeful that we're talking about, you know, hey, we got full capacity. And then just maybe the human nature aspect of it, of some tale of this is that, you know, maybe it is only going to be 75 or 80% of what you thought before. We're not planning on going 100% full out. I know some are. In terms of even if they have 100% capacity, but I think we're going to taper it off a bit. We think the premium seats will sell really well. We just think there's going to be some hesitation in some of the season ticket holders where we need to be a little more conservative going in.
There's also the mechanics of the games themselves. And last year was different because, you know, we tried to get the conference games in football in particular. Tried to get the conference games and then a non-conference game here or there. You were one of a handful of schools in the ACC that missed their year-end rivalry. One you're playing tonight in baseball. How important is getting that back to normal for you, for Mitch Barnhart, for Todd Stansberry, for Florida, Florida State, for Clemson, South Carolina, Vince?
Well, I think it's really important. It's obviously it is a big thing in the state. You know, we're all about competition in sports, and, you know, rivalries are what we celebrate. That's why we have rivalry week and things like that. But, you know, this game in particular for us against Kentucky is a big one. You know, their program's improved a great deal in football, so it's even made it even more intense the last few years. And our fans, they did miss it. And unfortunately, when we played them 2 years ago, we weren't at our best. We had 11 starters go down with the flu on IVs, and it turned into be a mess. So I can tell you our players are anxious to get back out there and play that game because they feel like they missed a chance last year to redeem themselves.
By the way, you do know at some point in time, assuming we're still employed here, that we've got to take this show to the Derby.
Reason you shouldn't.
I've never been. It's on my bucket list. I don't need an excuse to have a good time, especially up there. At some point in time, though, Vince, we have got to make that happen. This year's not going to make a whole lot of sense because we're all still, you know, dealing with it. But I got to figure if we could still hang around till 22, we have got to take Packer and Durham to the Churchill Downs and make it a University of Louisville showcase show. I can't imagine that being impossible to pull off. Can't imagine.
No, I would tell you that week, Mark, I mean, on the backside, that whole week, I mean, it's not just a day, as you guys know, it's a week-long event. But the media, the national media, is set up on the backside all week. So I'm out there doing interviews. Yeah. Everyone's out there, all the celebrities that come through the week, particularly later in the week. They're set up in their individual tents or set up along the backside watching the horses in the morning. Tons of fans. It's a big event. And then obviously on the big days, Oaks and Derby on Friday and Saturday, there's plenty of space for you two characters. And I'm sure your favorite Brownwater would love to sponsor you because Woodford is the official bourbon of the Derby. So the mint juleps might have to step out a bit there, Mark.
You are speaking my language. You know, right,
clearly.
Wait a minute, Wes. Nothing, I've said this for 25 years on radio and TV, Nothing gets done until something gets sold.
Something gets sold, right?
And that's if ESPN would allow me the ability to go sell this show for that event, I'm telling you, the worldwide leader would reach record sales because I could kill that in the sales department.
Your followers would be up immensely. From jockeys to owners.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, there you have it.
Too good an idea.
Vince.
It's too good of an idea to tie the University of Louisville, the Derby, and Packer and Durham on ACC Network. A no-brainer. Plus, we've got all the – listen, how many Louisville stars do we have on ACC Network? Goodness gracious.
I know.
Be phenomenal.
Katie and Eric, they'll be right there with you. Yeah.
Hancock. We'd throw them all in there.
Yeah, Luke. Luke would love to do it, I'm sure.
We got it all.
You'd be a co-host all week. That'd never be an issue.
Yeah. Well, there we go.
I'll be there with you. We can pick horses. That's outside the NCAA purview.
There we go.
I'm not promising any winners,
hey, Vince,
by the way.
That's all right. That doesn't even matter. Who cares? That's the easy part.
good luck tonight against the Wildcats. Tell Mac we said hello, and look forward to seeing the Cards and Cats tonight at 6 o'clock here on ACC Network. And always appreciate your time, my man.
Very good. Tell Bubba congrats. I sent him a note, and proud of him getting Hubert on board.
Yes, sir. Thanks, Vince.
Yeah, well, he's on the other side. Appreciate it very much. Don't forget Commonwealth Cup stuff tonight right here on ACC Network. We get it cranked up from Jim Patterson Stadium at 6 o'clock. University of Kentucky and number 7 Louisville right here on ACC Network, streaming live on the ESPN app. When we continue, we go to Chapel Hill again. Carolina's athletics director is Bubba Cunningham, and he is next on Packer and Durham. The Tuesday edition rolls on right after this.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
I'm Hubert Davis, and I'm a Tar Heel. And I'm proud, thankful, humbled, appreciative of being your new men's basketball coach for the University of North Carolina. Go Tar Heels.
Hubert Davis, new man in charge. And the guy that put him there joins us next. Bubba Cunningham, live from Chapel Hill, NC. And we get, again, our athletic director conversations continue here on the program from Vince Tyre up there in Louisville to Bubba in Chapel Hill. First of all, Mr. Cunningham, congratulations. I know it's been a crazy, crazy couple days. But it sounds like mission accomplished. You got your man.
Well, thank you. Obviously, when Coach called me when I was in Indianapolis and said he was going to retire, he's 70 years old, and I was expecting a retirement. I just wasn't expecting it quite this soon. And then we had to jump on it very quickly, and Hubert is absolutely fantastic in so many ways. And, you know, it's almost embarrassing for me to say that, you know, I've been here 10 years, he's been here 9, and I really didn't know him that well. And, boy, what I've learned about him in the last 4 or 5 days has been incredible. And what I've learned about the Carolina family and the Carolina community is awesome. You know, a lot of people talk about it, and they're maybe a little bit skeptical about the family, but the strength and the bond between these guys, as I've talked to an awful lot of people in the last 5 days, is something that is truly special, something I've never been a part of, and learned a great deal from them. And to a person, you know, I've talked to a couple that were very interested in the job, and they said, I'd love the job, but if it's not me, I don't care who it is, I just want Carolina to be good, and I'll support what you do. And that doesn't happen very often, and it's great for us, and Hubert has been absolutely fantastic, great leader, he inspires the team, the kids connect with him, great in player development, so I couldn't be more pleased with him and the direction of the program.
Bubba, I've got I made some notes last Thursday night during your press offer because, number one, I've told you this, I thought it was fantastic. Not many guys in your industry do it. I think more should, and if they take a page out of your book, they will. You used the term fit, time, and circumstance for what you were embarking on. I want to know now, looking back on it, how did those three factors lead you to Hubert Davis?
That's a great question. you know, I really did want to be broad in looking and trying to figure out what is right for us right now. And I, as I said the other night, I mean, I know that's cliche, but there's no other way to say it. And you feel like you're in coach speak when you say that. You know, if we play good offense, play good defense, we have a chance to win this game. You know, I did want to look nationally. I did want to look thoroughly through Carolina family. And I wanted to see what is the right thing today, given the landscape that we're in. College athletics is changing. All of these programs will change. Our program will change. And what's the right leader today, given the environment? The kids that are coming in have been raised differently than I was raised, differently than Hubert was raised. And so now how do we deal with them? How do we provide them the opportunities that they're looking for? You know, some of them want to go pro. Well, all of them want to go pro. But we also want to provide them an incredible education while they're here. We want to maintain these opportunities. But I also recognize that the Supreme Court, state legislator, the NCAA rules, all those things are changing. So we need somebody that is nimble, professional, connected, and willing to work in a very uncertain environment and provide these opportunities for these kids. So as I started thinking about all that, looking at the people that I thought could lead us right now, it became evident that Hubert was the guy. And he's going to put together an incredible staff. He's going to maintain the history and tradition of Carolina basketball. But we're going to meet the kids where they are today and try to provide a path for them to get to where they want to be. And they'll all be a little bit different.
Bubba, I can only imagine the pressure that you had to feel it, that, hey, like you said the other day, that this job doesn't come all open very often, and everybody and their brother would love to have it. But it has to be the right fit, as you alluded to. But the anticipation of when you came to the realization, Hubert Davis is the answer to the question. When you go to make the phone call, there had to be the anticipation of almost like, hey, you're going to a rock concert, the anticipation of opening kickoff, that, oh my God, it's getting ready to happen. So what's it like when you're dialing Hubert's number or when you go see him face to face, however you announce to him, hey, Hubert, congratulations, you're going to be the next coach. Walk us through that state of the anticipation that you went through and what you heard in response.
Well, actually, the way it worked was I had really good options. And I'm sitting there trying to discern what is going to make the difference and how am I going to make this decision? And quite frankly, it was a conversation with Hubert. And the energy, the passion, the commitment, his own personality absolutely tipped me over the top. And he left, and I ended up calling the chancellor and said, I know who we're going to hire. I know who I want to recommend to hire. And fortunately, that was Hubert. You know, the story's out there, you know, how he wasn't recruited, you'll never know if you don't give me a chance. And Coach Smith gave him a chance, and he comes here and he starts. He goes to the NBA, and you're too slow. You can't play. And he's a starting point guard. And, you know, what he told me is I didn't go there to prove anybody wrong. I went there to be the best I can be. And that attitude, that it's a slight difference, but in my mind, it's a huge difference. I'm not going to prove anybody. I want to do the best I can. And that kind of leadership, get the best out of the individuals. Don't worry about what other people think about you, but what can I bring to the table and how hard can I work? How hard can I push myself? And that type of leadership is really, in my mind, the definition of a servant leader. And he's been doing that as an assistant coach. He's been connecting with the players. And it was just the personal feeling I had for Hubert. I expect competency. And we talk to so many people that have a competent background, have an incredible background. But what is it going to take today for this group at this place? And he's absolutely phenomenal in my mind.
You talked about the impact of the Carolina basketball family. And even though you've been there several years and you've been given full credit, and rightly so, of understanding all the dimensions of what Carolina basketball is. What did you learn about Carolina basketball in 4 days that maybe you didn't know?
Well, again, you know, I learned a great deal when we dedicated the court to Coach Williams. That's the first time I was really surrounded by the Carolina family. And Hubert gave an inspiring speech that night, by the way. And all of the folks that I talked to, it was remarkable. And then what I learned really is the selflessness of the guys that I talk to and their commitment, dedication, loyalty to the program and to each other. And they are a supportive community. And I underestimated that probably, but it gives me goosebumps. It gives me goosebumps right now to think about how committed they are and how much they want this thing to be successful. And you can see it from outside. And I've heard the players talk about it in the locker room, in the NBA locker rooms. There's something about you guys. There's, you all get together. I mean, is it real? Is it authentic? And I absolutely, because I've experienced it in the last 5 days like I never have before. And I'm looking forward to continuing that tradition, but I'm looking forward to the changes that he's going to make, because it's a new way to play. The kids are different. The style is different. And Hubert has that creativity and that passion to be successful and inspire these young people to go on and do great things.
Bob, I want to get back to that question I asked you, though. When you told Hubert, tag, you're it, you're the guy, what was the response? Was there one of screaming like I just won the lottery? Or was it like, okay, let's get to work? Or was it like, thank you very much? I mean, what was the tone of that conversation once he got the word from you that, hey, it's a green light, let's go?
It was absolutely emotional. It was emotional for both of us because, as you said, it's the biggest, one of the biggest personnel decisions I've ever made, ever have to make. And it's one of the most life-changing things for him as an individual. And it's hard to really describe what those feelings are, but yes, there's a sense of relief. There's a sense of excitement. There's a sense of exuberance. I mean, you continue to name the adjectives, but you have all of those. And and now we've got 9 months to wait before we even play. I mean, we'd all like to play tomorrow and say, hey, what's this going to look like? But we don't want to rush the process either. So, I'm on pins and needles waiting to see how this is going to work out. But, you do that with any coach that you hire. But this one is just so public and so out there, so historic for our program. And it's really significant. So, you'd be crazy not to think all of those are part of your process here.
I have heard the word energy mentioned a couple different ways in the last, 20-some hours. What does the energy of Hubert Davis and the energy of, if you'll pardon the term, new era of Carolina basketball mean to Bubba Cunningham this morning?
Well, we're in a different time. Now, I mentioned all those different changes to college athletics and the energy he brings, the passion, the commitment. And it'll be interesting to see the staff that he puts together. And we have a great foundation. And, you can see it in his personality. I mean, that's an infectious smile, the enthusiasm, the positive nature of how he goes about his life. It is just something that, we lose track of some of that. We are attracting 18 to 22-year-olds. And I know I talk about this a lot, but it's meaningful to me. It's meaningful to him. We're providing opportunities for kids to come to college, get an education, and play and do what they want. Play pro, go into a profession. It doesn't matter. We are a college educationally based system, and he's going to mentor kids and bring them along in life. And it gives me energy to know that he's willing to do that. He's able to do that. So I think our future is as bright as it's ever been, but we're grounded in incredible tradition and history. And by the way, we do have to win.
That last part.
Let me add this, and this is a final question from me. I want, just for a moment, we had Jenny Levy on this show yesterday, okay? Who is one of a handful of coaches that you have in your athletic department who have been inspired or touched by Roy Williams in the coaching methodology of their particular sport. And I know his relationship with Mike Fox and Mac Brown and all these other various people in your athletic department. Is there any way to gauge Roy Williams' impact on the rest of your department? And I know he and Wanda have been remarkable with their financial commitment, Bubba, to help that bonus senior year and some of the other things in athletics. But just the impact he's had on other coaches must be something special for you.
Absolutely. And you nailed it. The financial contribution is nice. It's great. It's obviously something that's very special. But the biggest impact he's had is on our culture. on our culture of support, on our culture of recognition, our culture of celebration of success, encouragement, participation in everything that we do. I mean, he and Wanda have been spectacular. One of the most fun things we've done since I've been here is, unbeknownst to them, again, one of their donations, we named a boat for the rowing program after Wanda. We have the Wicked Wanda boat for our rowing program. And it was a surprise to them. It was something that was really cool because they had no expectation. But the depth of his feeling for this place, I mean, you know, he cries in the press conferences. He does all that stuff. And it's all authentic. Mm. If you're looking, you know, 1,000 miles away, you're going, oh, come on, that can't possibly be real. It's every day, that passion, that enthusiasm. And the coaches feel it. So one of the things we're doing this morning is we're having a meet and greet with all of our head coaches and Hubert Davis. Mm. We want that culture, that tradition to keep going. Our coaches are successful because they believe in each other. They have a passion for what they do here. And that is that's the tradition in history that we need to maintain, even if Roy's not here. Mm.
Bub, I got two quick questions for you. And again, we always appreciate the time because I know your schedule has just been insane. But I've already asked Dane Radakovich about getting on one of those rowing boats down there in Clemson on Lake Hartwell. What's one of those things go for, by the way? Just curious. I'm just interested.
They can go anywhere from $40,000 to $80,000, depending on the size and the boat.
I'm out. All right, so I'm out.
Come on, Pat.
Now, hey, Wanda's got my – Wanda can handle that one for me.
Pack.
Wanda's got that one.
When I was at Tulsa – We were short staffed, believe it or not. And we had a regatta out in Philadelphia. And I offered to drive the truck with the boats behind me to Philadelphia with the coach. And I've never been so nervous in my life. I mean, I'm a pretty good driver, but I've never driven a big old, you know, thing's got a bunch of boats behind me. So I drove that thing all the way out with the coach and all the way back. And I never had to back up because there's no way I could back thing up.
That's it.
That was a lot of money I was pulling around out there.
That's right. We're only going one direction, forward. That's it. There's no reverse on this trip.
Yeah.
All right. My last question for you. For folks, that, again, the fact that you didn't have a search committee, I applaud you for it because, you know what, an AD – should know what's in his or her best interest for their institution. So I applaud you with that. But just give me a neighborhood of how many potential candidates you talk to between finding out that Roy's going to retire to the announcement that Hubert Davis is the guy. What would the number be? What, just a rough number.
Oh, I don't know. But, you know, I said in the press conference last week that the search committee was going to be myself and Kevin and our chancellor. But I also used 8 members of our staff that also talked to potential candidates. And as I mentioned, the Carolina community was so supportive. I had many people in there that expressed their own interest, that helped me. They made contact with other people. So it wasn't just a narrow group. I want to be clear about that. We did not use a search firm. But we did gather a lot of information from a lot of sources. I would probably say that we really, tested the water with a dozen people that we really thought would be absolute home runs for us, including both within the Carolina family and outside. The interesting thing I did find that I didn't think about prior to, and that shows you how little foresight I have, this is an incredibly big job, as everybody knows. The candidate pool that can do this job is relatively small. I've really learned that quickly as I started to think about candidates and say, okay, who's going to be the right person here right now at the University of North Carolina? And that, quite frankly, that shrunk.
Interesting.
Yeah. Congratulations. Press conference will air live here on ACC Network at 2:00 today. We are always grateful for your time, but especially in this particular landscape. So thanks, and enjoy the rest of the spring.
Thank you. I tell you what, I drove in here this morning and saw something I haven't seen in a year, and I was so happy to see it. I saw kids standing at a bus stop. waiting to go to school.
Yeah.
Maybe things are changing.
You know what? It's life's simple pleasures, Bubba, isn't it? I mean, when it gets right down to it, it's the little things in life that put the smile on your face. Sure it is.
It did. So I feel good about where we are. Thanks for what you guys do. I tell you, ACC Network has been on the air for a couple of years now, and And the way you guys cover everything, it's it really means an awful lot. So thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate it. Be well. Bubba Cunningham, Athletics Director at North Carolina. More to come on this Tuesday of Packer and Durham. Kenny Williams and Scott Williams, two former Carolina players in different eras, if you will be with us in the 9 o'clock hour to talk about Hubert Davis. One played for assistant coach Hubert Davis. The other was a teammate of Hubert Davis. Interesting perspectives coming up in the Power Hour. More on the comments of Bubba Cunningham, too. Very, very insightful from Carolina's athletics director next.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
And Adam Lucas. I mean, a long list today, but important day, interesting day. And not only North Carolina, but also for the ACC.
I just kind of was struck by something in the last half hour of our show here. And we talk about coaches, right? We talk about the legendary coaches we've got in basketball, the coaches we've got in football, their college football Hall of Famers like Mack Brown, or if they're guys who are doing phenomenal jobs, be it what Dabo's done at Clemson, certainly, or even the emerging guys, Scott Satterfield or Dave Clawson, right? And you and I have mentioned this from time to time, but the last half hour just reminded me how good this league is right now in athletic director leadership, Pack. I mean, how good is the ACC when you think about every one of these athletic directors that we've talked to from, and we've had Pat Kraft on one time right after he got the job at Boston College, but we can go down the map of the ACC. How good is the AD leadership in this league? I enjoyed our visit with Bubba Cunningham, really enjoyed our visit with Vince Tyree too, talking about the intricacies of bringing sports back, and then Bubba on the process of Hubert Davis.
Well, I think the other thing too, and this may be as tied into COVID as anything else, that everybody having to work together. But when we finished up our interview with Vince Tyree, the one thing he mentioned was, hey, be sure to tell Bubba congratulations. I mean, hey, let me tell you something. When North Carolina and Louisville get on the hardwood, they want to win. They want to beat the other guy. But there's a sense of, hey, we're kind of all in this together, and you got to take care of it. If Louisville's good, it will only make everybody else better. If North Carolina's good, it makes everybody else better. It's a competitive business. And I think that when you're running an athletic department, you understand, the revenue sports are important. They're all important. All of these sports are important. I mean, this has been a year in which no one will ever forget, and just to try to get through a volleyball season or a football season or a basketball season has been an incredible undertaking by so many people. And I get a sense there is a tight community of, hey, a problem at the University of Virginia for Carla Williams is something that's discussed by Dan Radakovich at Clemson or Pat Kraft at whatever the case may be. Everybody's kind of fighting this together, and, hey, we got to get through this thing. So, you want to win. Yeah. You want to compete. It is competitive. But I've said this, for 25 years doing this media stuff. If you're weak at the top, you are bound to fail. I don't care what it is. If it's an athletic department, a radio station, a television network, a pizza parlor, insurance company, if your management stinks, you got no chance. You have no chance. And so you better have great leadership at the top. Surround yourself with good people and then get out of the way and help them the best way you can. And you see that in this league all the time.
Well, and sidebar, as we go to break here for the Power Hour, what a luxury for Jim Phillips to have not only people he's familiar with, but athletic director leadership at the member institutions that has collaborated to get through this last year and now working forward to walk us into what 21 is going to look like and even more what 22 is going to look like.
Yep, progressive thinking too. It's a different universe. Bubba mentioned it. Vince mentioned it. Yep. We've talked about it really at nonstop with the name, image, and likeness coming down the pike here and the transfer portal. We are going through a fascinating time, and you better have great, great leadership at the top. And I think there's a comfort level with Jim Phillips and these athletic directors in this league and vice versa. And I think he can speak the language. They get it, and again, it's just a different time, a fascinating time.
Yeah, it sure is. All right, sit tight. Don't forget, coming up at the at 2 o'clock today, the Hubert Davis press conference right here on ACC Network. Jordan Cornette, Dallin Cuff will moderate that from our ACC Network studios. And when we come back in the Power Hour today, we will continue to react to the hiring of Hubert Davis as the next basketball coach at North Carolina. Kenny Williams and Scott Williams, former Tar Heel stars, also join us. 9 o'clock hour. Back after the
Packer and Durham.